episode of Key Charge GG. In this little half episode, we are actually interviewing our friend Andrew. You can find him on Twitter at OneStarPeeps, and we're just talking generally KeyForge stuff and the Denver Vault Tour. So I hope you enjoy, and please pardon the audio quality as this all was recorded using Skype, and it's kind of hard to process afterwards. So again, I hope you guys enjoy. Continue to tune in. So I guess you want to start questions, or should I start questions?
I've started the last two times, so you should start.
So I guess overall, how would you rate your experience in the Denver Vault Tour?
The Vault Tour was great. Everyone was super nice. I got there Thursday at like 2 a.m. So I spent all day Friday just playing casual pickup games at the Sheraton with whoever was around. And everyone there, that was a lot of fun. And then day one was, I caught a lot of bad breaks, I think. And aside from that, I had a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you end up coming about with the, ended up being a commentator for the semifinals and finals game that was cast on Cascade Games Twitch?
So I write articles for iRebel Destiny. And I saw a post on Facebook where Cascade was looking for content creators for some unknown purpose. And when I talked to them, they said they were looking for commentators. And that's kind of the direction I wanted to try and go into. And so they're like, sweet, let's know what your plans are. And then after I booked my tickets for Denver, I emailed them and said, hey, I want to be a commentator like we talked about before. And they're like, great, come on down. We're happy to have you.
Nice.
So, I feel like I liked your commentary. I think if that's the direction you want to go, and I think it would be really, really good. We don't have a lot of commentators for KeyForge, at least dedicated ones. So, I mean, if you can link up with Cascade and hit a couple stops with them, that'd be great.
It'd be great if I could keep traveling.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone ideally would love to be able to travel for, you know, things they love, such as KeyForge.
Right.
I mean, I used to travel a lot for Magic and stuff, so I know that it's a very costly endeavor, and sometimes it doesn't always work out the best, like missing flights, oversleeping, all that kind of stuff, so.
Definitely scared of oversleeping. I do not get up early, ever.
That's an issue I'm facing right now with tomorrow being, you know, Star Wars Day and Free Comic Book Day. We're going to go camp out at a local comic shop to, you know, run our chances at getting some swag. And I was informed by Austin this morning we'd, you know, be running out at like 7:30 to go wait in line, and they don't even open till 9.
You think that that's uncommon, but there are people that literally set up 2 days ahead of time outside Collector's Corner, which is another local comic book store. I don't know if it's that intense at Chuck's, but I'm cutting you some slack at like an hour ahead of time.
So I guess my next question would be is, with everything that happened with the sudden format change, how do you think that affected the way that you chose the decks that you were going to play and the overall, I guess, health throughout the... I guess maybe morale would be a better word, wording for that. The overall morale effect that had, being so close to the event with a giant format change like that, did it sway your decision in what decks you brought with you?
I think it changed. When I thought it was Triad, I only had my for sure I was bringing, and then the rest of how do I respond to that are either banned combo or banned, and then that's what the other two left were kind of going to address. But then when they switched to survival, it's just like more of bring your best three decks, and it was really disappointing that I didn't get to play the fun like pregame of banning decks and counterpicking. But I think, I mean, I had a lot of, there was a lot of time from my perspective. That's about it, I guess. I don't know how everybody else felt. I know everyone was disappointed because Triad just sounds more fun, or when I talk to and everyone I saw, like talking about it on like Discord and whatnot. But we all, it's still a good fun tournament, but not as skill testing as we'd hoped.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, that is like definitely a big change in format, considering, you know, Triad, you know, being Triad, and then Archon Survival, where it's kind of like run out your decks and stuff. I'm not sure exactly what caused that. I think what it was, that there was an issue with the system or something with the registration.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Programming. I mean, I want to blame programming, like the probably FFG has their gem software, which all of it's supposed to be run on. And as we know, right, like Chainbound can't even do survival right now. So trying to ask to add more formats to this every couple months, every month or so, might be too much for them. On top of trying to get Chainbound to be able to do things like reversal. And like, it's just, if you think about, I think it's a lot more difficult to be like, all right, what deck won? What deck got banned? What does that mean in terms of chains or like power level gets assigned stuff? And how do you track all this information that's not really part of just like regular Archon?
Fair. I mean, I know that there's a lot of issues with local game stores, even when they're trying to do a Chainbound event with the software not reading external webcams that are causing people to not be able to actually run Chainbounds out of the store unless they have an internal webcam on a laptop, per se, in order to scan cards in and register and run everything that way. So, and I did see a couple of posts on Reddit where people were like their machines that they were using at the Denver Ball Tour were having issues every so often.
Yeah, actually, when I tried to register, the machine got stuck, and the machine next to me got stuck for like 5 minutes at least trying to register my deck stuff. And there was only three, so it slowed down significantly when that happened. I forget what the solution was. It felt like they took essentially there were three iPads on, like, built or whatever, tripods, and then you just do the normal QR code scan that you might be used to. And then they took them out of their stilts, and I think they just, like, restarted them, or at least restarted the Gem app.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could get, you know, Crit Hit. Maybe you'd be like, hey, dude, if you have an iPad or something, like, it's got an internal camera.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that that's too many hoops to jump through if I was a local game store manager. I think that may be why we, at least in our local area, aren't seeing as many Chainbound events as we would like. But I know that FFG is making great bounds and efforts to try to improve that, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. That's too good of a game to die on tech like this, but
I definitely agree with that. So moving on to the next question, or form of questioning, I guess. How stoked are you for AOA, and what cards are you most looking forward to coming into the set?
I really want to see Dusk Witch, I think is the name. The one power elusive Omega,
yeah.
Your creature is enter ready. And Untamed, and if Witch VI gets reprinted, that sounds like a bunch of ridiculous combo stuff that you get to do. Like, ideally, Witch VI comes down, and then you Nature's Call, your Witch VI, and two of their creatures. You come back, reap with Witch VI, do it again, and just keep getting back, like, whatever cards you want from your discard pile on top of it.
Jeez, that is insane combo
That's an insane combo. I feel like that card's going to be really good. And even if it's not comboing, I can see a lot of, you know, I mean, even with Mars, which is the, you know, the least inclusive house and is kind of exclusive, a lot of their cards rely on their creatures coming in ready, like Marauder, and there's a new one that's kind of like Hypnotic Command that relies on ready creatures, and I think that could be some good synergies there. I mean, but there's a bunch of busted combos, no doubt.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I like to joke with my friends that the best Mars card is actually Speed Sigil, just for that.
Yes, I agree. I agree. That is my new favorite Mars card.
Yeah. It is an amazing Mars card to have, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, overall, with the experience at the Vault Tour, like, what would you say? Would you say that the pricing on the exclusive items off the prize wall was fair for everything? Because, I mean, we were talking a little bit about it last night, and you said you were able to score a playmat and some other stuff for, like, 70 shards. And I just think that the – me personally speaking, I think it should be easier to acquire shards outside of events because of the lack of events and the issues that are having with the gem software outside of events, even in the events.
I think I agree. I'm not sure about the price points. It feels like the mats are overly expensive, especially if you think about, like, a chain tracker is 5 shards, and then that means you need 4 after 10, 14 chain trackers worth of shards to get one playmat, and that doesn't feel equal to me. I mean, I don't value chain trackers very high to begin with. Store championships and all everything in between tours and chainbound fire worship. But yeah, until then, it's really hard to get a significant amount of shards without going to a vault tour. And even then, like, only getting the pins worth of shards for showing up. But also, on the same hand, it's only cost $20 to play in the vault tour, I think, or if it wasn't sealed. And so that's pretty cheap for a large event like that. Like, if you think about, like, if you sign up for a Magic GP or something like that, that's like $100, and you get, like, a playmat, I think, on baseline. But I like the idea of spending a lot more money on the event itself to get a better prize pool.
Kind of like exclusive swag that you get just for attending the event overall, instead of having to, like, kind of spend more money in order to get any swag.
Right, exactly.
That's fair. I would definitely agree with that. It's kind of disheartening a little bit when you think about, like, you know, the amount of shards it costs for things. Like, you saying that that chain trackers were 15. I mean, that's 15 decks if you're not doing events and stuff.
Yeah, a chain tracker is 5, but...
Oh, 5. So it's 5 decks.
Sorry, 14... The same amount of shards it takes to buy 14 chain trackers, you get a playmat, which, I mean, if you think about it that way, it makes the playmats sound, I don't know, I just don't like chain trackers. They're kind of everywhere, and doesn't feel like it scales right.
No, I mean, you can get them, like I got a chain tracker at the sealed event I went to, and unfortunately it wasn't chain bound, so I didn't get any shards, but, I mean... I'll take a chain tracker. Like, I didn't really... I mean, I still got a deck out of it because it was $10 to enter, which covered the deck, and I got to play and kind of play off my toes a little bit, which worked out quite well considering the deck was rated really low, but I was able to pull out some lines and combos and hold my own there throughout, and it paid off for a chain tracker.
Yeah, but sadly, I also was given a chain tracker at, like, 1 and 2, so...
I mean, yeah, that was kind of... I get that. Like, what was it, the last chainbound we did, you ended up getting premium keys.
Yep, premium keys for going 4-0, so that was nice.
Congrats.
But, thank you. My deck was pretty good. Very, a good Dis Brabnar Shadows deck, just all around really good cards. I felt like a lot of the games, my card quality just outweighed my skill, and I was just carried pretty much.
Free wins are nice, I can't complain about them.
I mean, I had to think a little bit. I wouldn't call it all free wins, but it was pretty easy. Humble brag.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nature of field or draft or whatever you want to call it. But sometimes you just get a good tool. And
This was Archon, so...
Oh, even better, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you actually... Archon's just more skill-intensive and the deck quality is a lot higher, so good job.
Thanks again.
I hate that deck.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's no fun to play against, but I think it's really good. So I think that, I mean, you would like to find a nice balance of that in playtesting and content creation, but I don't really care. I'll crush anyone.
I mean, play combo. I don't care about how much fun my opponent's having in a tournament.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point. I mean, you're not necessarily in a tournament for everybody to have fun. I mean, as long as you're having fun and getting wins, that's really all that matters, because you're not there for, I guess this kind of falls back into the whole, like, you know, teams thing. Like, you're not necessarily in the tournament for the team. You're in it to win it. Like, that's all there is to it. You go there with the intention of, I'm going to play my best. I'm going to do everything I can to win. And that's that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know. What's your opinion on my first question, I guess, instead of carrying off somebody else's? What's your I mean, I guess I know your opinion, but, like, how do you feel about the whole team structuring and, you know, the team heavy cut as we saw in Denver?
I mean, it makes sense. They put in a lot of time and effort and practice against each other, and that's just what you have to, not necessarily what you have to do, but there's a lot of advantages to knowing that you're always playing against high-quality opponents in your training. And then, obviously, there's more advantages. Like, you have stronger buying power to get decks that you want, and it's easier to take risks on decks if you're, like, dividing the costs like that to try new stuff out. I can't blame people for... I think it's a good idea for the most part. I mean, I just have friends that I play with and might as well consider them a team. Definitely, but, like, my best friend who lives with me, I lent him one of the decks that he played with, and we play together all the time. The only difference between me and him being a team is that we don't call ourselves a team. Anyone else can do the same thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that theoretically, like, the same thing that we do. Like, we don't call ourselves a team, but we're constantly playtesting against each other and with each other, trying to, you know, outdo one another consistently.
Yeah, hopefully diversifying a little bit more, because, like, you heard on episode two, our three, our triad didn't go very well. So, you know, trying to jam more strategies and different ideas against each other would, you know, maybe help some of that inbreeding, as we called it. But I enjoy testing with you, Tom. That's why I make a podcast with you, so don't worry.
Feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that I'd say that I'd like to see is, like, getting a little bit more local people with us maybe to play test with. Like, if we had other people that were in our vicinity to play test with, like, it's basically just me, Austin, and Austin's girlfriend who play Keyforge together.
And she's definitely stepping back in a more casual manner.
Right, and as we're pushing forward to a more competitive aspect, as we're trying to grow as players and attend bigger events and grow strategically and go for wins and such.
Right. Yeah.
I feel...
Yeah, my bed's falling back a little bit like that, too, I think. I don't know. He was... Oh, there was three of us that basically played test together, and... Yeah, he's the most casual of the bunch.
Yeah, and I mean, even casual people are good to play against, because sometimes they see lines or interactions that, you know, the typical competitive player wouldn't. Unlike Magic, where, like, I always felt this gap where, like, I'm playing a Tier 1 or Tier S deck, and they're just playing, like, something they assembled with a starter deck and, like, six packs or whatever, which is entirely fine. But I always felt like a little unfair advantage. But in Keyforge, someone can open, you know, a medium range, like, 75 to 80... 82 SAS deck or whatever, and, you know, the card quality can still kind of be similar to something I'm running or I'm testing, unless it's something ridiculous like lands or like a 90 SAS deck or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And also, when you play against, like, the people that aren't super competitive, their decks will just sometimes do something different that you never expected, and that's just some good experience. And you don't see that as much in Magic, because you, like, kind of, the metagame is the metagame in Magic, but you can just show up to the Vault Tour with a good deck that does something that's different than other people aren't expecting, and you could quite see those different archetypes just out at, like, local chainmail or whatever. I like, nice. That's, like, yeah, my favorite, like, my first step for ever testing a new deck is I just run, like, 10 games in casual on the Crucible Online, just so I can get a wide variety of to play against, to have an idea of its strengths and weaknesses.
And that's kind of like what I do as well with playtesting. Like the last deck I got in a sealed, not the most recent deck, but the last week when we went to the sealed event, I pulled an all right deck. But as soon as I got home, I entered my info, scanned the deck in, added it to my decks on the Crucible, and just ran rigorous playtesting with it because it didn't rate very high. But I was like, this deck definitely has potential. There's lines and combos there that can be game-changing and can sway in my favor in ways that some of my even stronger decks wouldn't be able to do, like, mid-game. Like, you know, I was playing against somebody, and I managed to double forge with Chota on one turn with using Regrowth.
So you played a Chota, and you found a way to kill it, and then you regrowth your Chota?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It felt really good because I was like, I might be able to pull this off. And when I did, I was just like, I can't believe I just pulled that off.
Yeah, I think I taught you that line like your fifth game in the Keyforge, so I'm glad you remembered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you can win here, and you didn't know how. And I was like, you just have to kill your own Chota. And he's like, well, yeah.
I don't even think I ended up killing him in the Crucible. I think I Nature's Called him. For the
that'll do, yeah.
Something like that. I regrowth something to gain Ember off of something, and I don't even remember the line, but I was just like, I can't believe I just did that. But, like, vigorous playtesting on the Crucible, like you said, it's great because you do see a vast, like, an insane amount of different decks. Like, I don't think I've played the same deck twice, ever.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think I've played the same deck twice except against, like, sometimes my friends will jump on and they'll be like, I won't play against that deck. But, and even that, even if you're just talking about archetypes, kind of hard to tell if you're playing against a different archetype. So there's just, like, enough variety that they're significantly different. But, like, difference between, like, mono blue and, or, like, green red and green red black in Magic. They're mostly the same, but not 100%.
Agreed. And that's one thing I kind of like. Like, Magic's a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but it's just, like, it gets hard to play Magic at a competitive level when you're having to shell out a couple $100 every 6 months to rebuild your deck, go through, learn what's applicable and what the meta is for the current standard set, and just the sheer expense of it just outweighs so much for me in so many ways, and that's kind of why I stepped away from Magic for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was never the expense for me. It was more just, like, you know, personal reasons that I keep to myself. But I do get where you're coming from. Like, it does turn off a lot of people. And I think maybe they're trying to remedy a little bit of that with their new program, MTG Arena, which is similar to Hearthstone, if you guys don't know. But those are my feelings on it, so.
I mean,
it's only standard format. Yeah, the only thing I pretty much never played Constructed Magic. I just play Limited exclusively, or, like, Draft and Field. And so the switch to Keyforge has been, like, super easy and, like, oh, yeah, hey, look, I just get to play Field without any of the overhead costs. Great.
Right. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, when Austin introduced me to Keyforge maybe, what, like, a month ago, month and a half ago?
Yeah.
I instantly was like, I really enjoy this game. Like, it has all the remnants of Magic that I liked, the strategic comboing and, like, looking, you know, three steps ahead like a chess game, like, kind of looking at your opponent and seeing what they're working with, what their play style is, and using that knowledge to further your own personal gain on the board and get ahead and eventually win. And the things that I love about Keyforge more than anything is, like, one, it's cheaper, and two, the unique decks. Like, that's, to me, is just so cool. Like, to completely nerd out for a second, it's just neat. Like, every deck is completely different, and that's so awesome to me. Like, it's just neat.
Yeah, I mean, it does, there's just a wide variety of things, and that's why I like this game so much is, Now, post-Denver, I feel like people are looking at other decks. Like, Control the Weak decks definitely came into the spotlight a lot more. And that is what we saw in the finals, was not lands. I think there was one lands deck in the semis, but in the finals it was two non-lands decks. So I think people look at those decks more now, which I like.
It's good to see a nice variety of stuff. I mean, even the second place deck in Chicago I'd consider a third archetype. It was pretty, aggressive, board control-y, but it doesn't have the disc control package that both the finalists at Denver had. It was Rob Gnar Untamed kind of rush, beat stuff down deck, and then there was lands, and now we have these two mid-range control disc kind of archetypes that showed up. So who knows what the next Archon one's going to have Age of Ascension, so that's going to be super exciting to see how that...
That's going to be insane.
I think that's going to bring a lot of people's eyes to the next Vol Tour, and it's going to change a lot coming up, because the archetype's going to be completely different. It's like, lands is great, don't get me wrong, and Control of the Weak is really strong too, but some of these new cards are just like insane in their ability to change a game state.
Right, yeah. Although repainting that's showing up is super going to change things a lot. There's Mars has, you're talking about the cards that stun creatures on reaping, and then there's the new Sanctum thing that just, I think it's just on your creatures cannot reap or something.
Well, yeah. I just posted about that in the Keyforge group on Facebook earlier today, actually. It was it's like a 6-power creature that while it's on the board, enemy creatures can't reap. So that makes it automatically a target to get off the board so you can reap, because it stops your gain and progression in the game towards winning. And it's also a strong enough power to where you might be able to get them to run smaller creatures into it and reduce their board size so they can't even reap that much across next turn.
Yeah.
I also like the, what was it, Unlocked Gateway. The Omega Gateway to Dis.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Sorry if you're hearing my nav system.
No, you're fine.
But then there's also this other aspect of they haven't really revealed what we're going to see reprinted directly. And then we don't know the exact number or percentile that legacy cards, which aren't reprinted, will be printed again. I think it might be less than Maverick or close to Maverick. And then we also have the option of just people showing up to Archon events jamming, still Control the Week, still lands. And, it's just going to be such an interesting evolution, like you said. I don't think we're going to we're not going to see no older decks that have no AoE in them. I think we're going to have a lot of decks that still have either both or just the first set. But we'll see. I think it adds a really good, kind of shake up to everything. I'm trying to stay away from the word metagame as much as possible, but you get where I'm at.
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, one of the things that I've been working on that I wrote an article about is about trying to guess what's going to be reprinted, and kind of if you're familiar, all my ideas come from Magic, so I'm sorry for people who don't like Magic that much, but if you look at all the ID numbers of the cards, you can determine what cards are not going to be reprinted right now. And so things like Phase Shift and Library Access have been cut, are very likely to not be reprinted. So,
interesting.
So, yeah.
I think that's for the better. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you want to keep the game fresh. So, I mean, if you're seeing what's, these cards are kind of dominating current competitive play, then it's not necessarily unwise to not bring them into the second set, even though they're still viable completely and still tournament legal. It's refreshing nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, I think also...
Hey, guys. So, unfortunately, during
conversion of the files here, I actually managed to lose about 2 minutes on the end of the interview. Unfortunately, that is where Andrew was doing his plugs. So I'm here to do them for him, even though, ideally, I wish that that wouldn't have happened. So if you can follow him on Twitter, at OneStarPeeps, and that is one STARPEEPS, OneStarPeeps. And you can also check him out on the website he writes for, which is iRebelDestiny.com, where you can check out all the articles he's written about things pertaining to the wonderful world of KeyForge. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. This has been another episode of KeyCharge GG.